What's going on, everybody? Welcome back for another episode of Triggered. This is Triggered, episode number 533 here on Wednesday, October 2nd. We are just 34 days until Election Day. So much going on in the country and the world right now. First off, apologies for missing the episode last week. Got a lot going on right now with major projects I'm working on, and just scheduling did not work. So that's 100% on me. Sorry about that. But we are back here today, the day after the vice presidential debate that we had last night, where J.D. Vance took Tim Walz to the woodshed.
Yeah, he did.
The woodshed where Tim Walz guzzles all the horse cum.
It wasn't even a horse race. Yeah. Took him out of the stable and shot him.
Yeah. Yeah, he was pumped full of it, because J.D. Vance just destroyed him.
Oh,
I mean,
bad.
And it was 3-on-1 again.
Yeah.
It was the fucking moderators, 3-on-1.
Yep.
These two stupid bitches who didn't know what the fuck they were talking about at all.
No.
At all.
No.
I mean, really, at all.
Yeah.
It was even worse than David Muir and that other dumb bitch.
Lindsay Davis?
At least David Muir has somewhat of a head on his shoulders, but yeah. these two women, my God. So yeah, CBS News, clear, you know, we should know it every time. And I think J.D. Vance knew it going into it,
yeah,
too.
Yeah.
And so he was clearly prepared.
Yeah.
My favorite moment of the entire thing last night. We're not going to do a million clips here, but we're going to do a couple. My favorite moment, and we were sitting there watching the debate,
mm-hmm.
when she tries to fact check him on the illegal immigration bullshit.
Oh, my God. Oh, yeah. The Ohio Haitians?
Yeah. On the Ohio Hitch, and then she tries to move on completely to a different topic.
Yeah.
And I'm yelling at the TV, no, JD, you cannot let her get away with it. And then he starts going at it.
And then they muted his mic.
Yeah, they cut his mic because he was destroying her so much to her face on national television.
Yeah.
In front of, by the way, 67 million viewers was the ratings,
oh,
which
nice.
Is pretty freaking high. Same, almost the same exact as the presidential debate.
Wow.
You know, it, just in case anyone didn't watch last night, although most people listening to this podcast will have watched, take a listen to J.D. Vance owning this shit.
And just to clarify for our viewers, Springfield, Ohio does have a large number of Haitian migrants who have legal status, temporary protected status.
Well, Margaret, but
thank you, Senator. We have so much to get to.
Margaret, I think it's important because
we're going to turn out of the economy. Thank
Margaret,
you.
Margaret, the rules were that
the
you
economy,
guys weren't going to fact check. And since you're fact checking me, I think it's important to say what's actually going on. So there's an application called the CBP One app where you can go on as an illegal migrant, apply for asylum or apply for parole, and be granted legal status at the wave of a Kamala Harris open border wand. That is not a person coming in, applying for a green card and waiting for 10 years. That
Thank
is
you,
the
Senator.
Facilitation of illegal immigration, Margaret, by
Thank
our
you,
own
Senator,
leadership.
Thank you, Senator, for describing the legal process.
And Kamala,
we
and
have
Kamala
so
Harris
much to get to,
that
Senator.
Pathway.
Those
we
laws have
so
been
much...
on the books since 1990.
Thank you, gentlemen.
The CBP One app has not been on the books
since 1990. It's something that Kamala Harris created, Margaret.
Gentlemen, you're... The audience can't hear you because your mics are cut. We have so much we want to get to. Thank you for explaining the legal process.
Yeah, it was just like...
Well, she tried to claim that they were here legally.
Yeah.
And I'm like, that is a lie.
Yeah. I mean, it's, you know who else was here legally? The 9/11 terrorists.
Yeah, I know, right?
I mean, Jesus.
I know.
At this point, it's...
They have that temporary protective status to prevent them from being deported. That's different.
Temporary.
Temporary being the operative word. Yeah. And also... They're here illegally. That's why they're given that.
Yeah. Yeah.
I couldn't. Yeah.
The whole first 15 to 20 minutes of the debate was yet again just a replay of the ABC debate. It was the liberal greatest hits against Republicans.
Yeah.
It was climate change, which nobody gives a fuck about. It doesn't even register to 1% on most important issue polls. What else did they put in there? Abortion,
was
of course.
In there.
It's like, what are we doing here?
Yeah. But he was prepared for all of it.
Yeah, well, I love how we hammered home the point that if Kamala wanted to do all these great things, why doesn't she do them now?
Yeah.
Take a listen.
A lot of what Kamala Harris proposes to do, and some of it, I'll be honest with you, it even sounds pretty good. Here's what you won't hear, is that Kamala Harris has already done it. Because she's been the vice president for 3.5 years. She had the opportunity to enact all of these great policies. And what she's actually done instead is drive the cost of food higher by 25%, drive the cost of housing higher by about 60%, open the American southern border and make middle class life unaffordable for a large number of Americans. If Kamala Harris has such great plans for how to address middle class problems, then she ought to do them now, not when asking for a promotion, but in the job the American people gave her 3.5 years ago. And the fact that she isn't tells you a lot about how much you can trust her actual plans.
Yeah, it's what else is your, you know, opinion?
I mean, I also thought that the climate change question, Vance seemed prepared for it and had a great pivot.
Yeah.
Basically saying that, like, you know, if you really want to support, you know, first of all, he's like, Trump and I support clean air, clean water, and want a healthy environment. But, you know, if people really wanted to get into the weeds, they'd support our energy policy. Mm-hmm. Energy independence is, you know, a proper climate, you know, agenda. So
yeah,
that was good.
You know what I really hated about the climate change thing, though?
Yeah.
Is that that question was based off of the hurricane.
Oh, the hurricane. Yeah.
And the hurricane question wasn't, how is the federal government completely abandoning our countrymen down in North Carolina and Georgia and Tennessee and Virginia and Florida, South Carolina?
Yeah. It was the hysterics of, does this mean that, you know, it's happening?
Typical New York bullshit.
I know, But, you know, he was prepared for it, answered it well. I'm sure you saw that Mayorkas announced that there's not enough relief funds.
Well, yeah, we're going to get to the whole North.
Sorry.
I have a whole North Carolina.
Oh, sorry. Okay. I didn't know. Okay.
That gets my blood boiling. Yeah. I just want to get through the
whole thing. I wonder why we're running out of money, right?
Yeah. My other favorite moment from last night, take a listen to this.
Yeah, I sat in that office with those Sandy Hook parents. I've become friends with school shooters. I've seen it.
Tim Walz is friends with school shooters.
That was so bad.
I mean, he's just so fucking weird. You know, it's a classic Democrat thing to just project like that. They call J.D. Vance weird when he's the normal guy.
Yeah.
Tim Walz is a fucking weird.
Well, I mean, he got off to a very shaky start in the beginning. From the beginning, it was going to be a train wreck. I mean, his eyes were bugged out. Just did not seem to be with it regarding the facts. I mean, he couldn't really, when JD knocked him off script, like those little moments where, you know, he kind of, you know, they went back and forth a little bit on the podium. Yeah. He didn't know what to do.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and you saw that. I mean, he said that when they were talking about healthcare, you know, being a woman is a pre-existing condition.
Yeah.
You know, debating the Obamacare mandates, the I'm friends with school shooters.
Yeah. Well, let's not forget also the Tiananmen Square.
Yeah, the Tiananmen Square. He had no answer for that.
No. His answer was,
I got my dates.
I lied about being in China.
Yeah.
But I grew up in Nebraska.
I grew up in Nebraska. Yeah. Yeah,
what the fuck?
Yeah. No pivot whatsoever. I mean, but like, you knew that
even
was happening.
Even the libtard moderator, that dumb bitch.
Oh, wasn't going to let him get away with it.
She couldn't even cover for him.
Yeah.
You know, she was like shocked.
Yeah.
She's like, I don't even know what to do with this. I mean, like, a deer in the headlights.
I mean, there's no pivot. I mean, it's on audio. There's a 2019 radio interview where he says this shit, and the fact that he didn't have an answer, good or bad, but a prepared response for that was just, it was very awkward, weird. And I mean, I thought his eyes were going to come out of his head.
They were bulging.
He was bug-eyed the whole time.
Yeah, his eyes were bulging.
It wasn't
just
until,
like the horse when he walks into the stall.
Mr. Hands. Yeah, we should call him that, Mr. Hands, because he likes to gesticulate everywhere.
Oh, he gesticulates everywhere.
Yeah,
is the most ridiculous fucking person I've ever seen. Have you seen him come off a plane or come onto the stage at a rally?
No.
I mean, it is unbelievable.
He's
if I'm sure everyone has seen this.
Yeah.
But if you haven't, look it up.
Yeah.
Because you will fall over.
He's like a character. If there was a character on Sesame Street who was like a fucking crack addict or something.
Yeah.
Him, you know, he's like a coked up
Muppet.
Yeah. Yes. But you know, he just looked. He did get into something of a groove. I would say maybe an hour in, but by that point it was already too late.
Well, yeah, it was the same thing as like when Biden, you know, there's this point in a debate where you're already crushed.
It's done.
You've defeated, just retreat.
Yeah.
Another case of classic Democrat projection. Take a listen.
Now, the thing I'm most concerned about is the idea that imprisoning your political opponents.
Oh, he's most concerned about imprisoning your political opponents?
I know.
Who would do that?
I know.
Definitely not Kamala and Joe Biden, already doing that for 4 years.
Yeah.
But I love J.D. Vance talking about the real threat to democracy. Take a listen.
I believe that we actually do have a threat to democracy in this country, but unfortunately, it's not the threat to democracy that Kamala Harris and Tim Walz want to talk about. It is the threat of censorship.
And he's right. He went on to hammer him further for not believing in the First Amendment, which I thought was particularly powerful. Take a listen.
For not believing in democracy, the most sacred right under the United States democracy is the First Amendment. You yourself have said there's no First Amendment right to misinformation. Kamala Harris wants to use the power of government and big tech to silence people from speaking their minds. That is a threat to democracy that will long outlive this present political moment. I would like Democrats and Republicans to both reject censorship.
Yeah, I mean, here's the thing. I think that J.D. Vance last night proved that he was the correct pick.
Yeah.
And I think that, you know, regardless of what happens in this election, God forbid we lose, because then we might as well just all take the Kool-Aid. But he has a bright future, whether he is the sitting vice president, then running for president in 2028, or taking on, you know, challenging Kamala. We did get robbed of a J.D. Vance versus Kamala debate, because that would have been way worse for them.
We might have taken New York and made California competitive. That would have been horrific.
That would have been something. But yeah, J.D. Vance proved that he is where he belongs. And you know, a lot of people, including myself, were like, a little on the pick. He's proven himself not only before this debate, but especially in that debate last night.
Yeah.
So I'm very, very happy with him. Anything else from that debate that I can't think of?
Well, you know, like how you mentioned he was prepared. In his closing remarks, you know, he was like, you know, we didn't talk really about energy.
Yeah, yeah.
And, you know, it sounded like he was ready to run the gauntlet on everything. Yeah. Everything. And
well, the closing remarks are really good.
Really good.
The answer on abortion I thought was really good, which was talked about way too much.
It was way too much. But, you know, I liked how he pressed walls on his law.
Yeah. Yeah.
The governor doesn't even know his own law.
Yeah.
It literally is like it's quasi legalization of partial birth abortion.
Yeah. Oh,
they,
for sure.
I mean, it is the Ralph Northam make the baby comfortable.
Yeah.
Yep. Personified. And then he's like, we're not, you know, the whole we're not pro abortion, mm-hmm. we're pro women. You know, mind your damn business. Mm-hmm. I thought JD was going to hit him back with the whole COVID snitch line thing.
Yeah.
He did. But, you know, at that point, he didn't need to. Didn't need to do that. So.
Well, what I thought was interesting was, you know, remember the bitch from the first debate, the ABC debate between Trump and Harris?
Oh, Lindsay Davis?
Yeah. Take a listen to what she had to say about Tim Walz's performance last night.
It kind of reminded me of the June 27th debate when Kamala Harris that night said of Joe Biden, it was a slow start, but a strong finish. And that's how I felt that Tim Walz kind of did tonight. You know, to use Tim Walz's own words, I mean, a lot about this debate tonight was weird. There were uncomfortable, cringy moments. But overall, I think my takeaway was something that Reince Priebus said on the outset, which was that J.D. Vance needed to come away as that humble, likable guy from Hillbilly Elegy. It seemed like he did perhaps get some points in that.
Man, when that libtard is saying that's how you know.
Yeah.
And the snap polls came in. J.D. Vance won over 50% in the CNN poll, which really means a landslide because we all know how those are. The Frank Luntz focus group, it was 12-2 in favor of J.D. Vance. Other focus groups, well over 65% saying that Vance won. And so, interestingly enough, as well, his favorability numbers went up. I think that that could, you know, VP debates are
Not when 67 million people watch this, though.
Right,
that's
right.
The thing.
Exactly. And because there's no other debates, this got a lot of attention.
Yeah.
And I think it could move some votes for sure. You know, I don't think it's going to be a groundbreaking, you know, change of 4 points in the polls or whatever. Yeah. But at this point, any votes you're moving is a positive for us. So,
sure.
I think it was overall a great night for us, and, you know, I don't think it could have gone any better.
No.
So.
No, not really.
All right. Let's see. We got a lot going on here. So, let's start first here at home. So, obviously, last week, Hurricane Helene slammed into Florida, carving a path of destruction and devastation from where it made landfall in the Big Bend region of Florida, up through Georgia, basically through the entire state of Georgia, and then crossing South Carolina, North Carolina, Tennessee, Virginia, but particularly devastating the mountains of North Carolina and Virginia and Tennessee, very much so in North Carolina. I mean, North Carolina took a really, really hard hit from this in western North Carolina. And what we've seen since is nothing short of a more egregious negligence of duty than what they would have said about George Bush with Katrina.
Yeah.
Joe Biden and Kamala Harris have failed the people that they're supposed to represent. And there's still people missing in North Carolina 5 days later after the worst floods in a generation in that region of the country. Biblical. I mean, the devastation is just whole towns wiped out, just gone.
Yeah.
People having to break holes through their ceiling to crawl into the attic and then through the roof to their roof just to survive from the rising floodwaters after multiple dams failed and major flash flooding. People losing the family members to the rushing waters. All this happening. And Joe Biden on a beach. Kamala Harris out west doing fundraisers with all her big liberal high-dollar donors.
Yep.
No one in command at the White House, of course. And finally, after pressure mounted on them, they finally started talking about it, but not nearly enough.
Like two paragraphs.
Yeah. They continue to not put the amount of resources necessary toward this natural disaster. They continue to fail to activate the adequate number of National Guard and military that should be on the ground there. Search and recovery is still a huge problem. I mean, we still have, I think, 1,000 people missing.
Yeah.
Or maybe it's down to a couple, you know, 700 at this point. I know that the death toll is already, I think, the second deadliest hurricane in the last 50 years, and it probably will become number one. I think also might become the most expensive natural disaster in our history. It just makes my blood boil that they're getting away with this because the media doesn't give a fuck.
Mm.
Kamala posts a staged picture on her plane of her supposedly on a FEMA phone call.
Yeah, but the headphones aren't plugged into her phone.
Yeah.
Blank sheet of paper.
She's writing on a blank sheet of paper. There's no notes.
Taken days ago.
On a plane.
Yeah.
Remember what they gave, the shit they gave Bush for using the plane to fly over New Orleans?
Yeah.
Because he didn't want to land and, you know, cause emergency first responders to have to cater to him, which I think is a very valid thing. And I will say for Biden to say that is correct.
Yeah.
Because a president going to the grounds of a natural disaster right after it distracts resources.
Yeah.
And when the resources are already strained. But there's so many things here that are a problem. Like I said, the National Guard and the military. Did you know that several years ago, Starlink had a contract to give North Carolina, or not give, sell North Carolina 20,000 units of their mobile internet satellites, right? Well, the FCC canceled that, Joe Biden, out of spite because he doesn't like Elon Musk.
Mm-hmm.
So they had no Starlinks on the ground. So you know what? You know what happened? Trump called up Elon Musk, said, Elon, Trump went out there, not to North Carolina, he went to Georgia, which is a little bit better shape, but still devastated. And he said, Elon, these people need internet. What can we do? And Trump arranged with Elon to get a ton of Starlink out there.
Yeah.
And also Starlink is going to provide service to Starlink units regardless of payment status. So anyone who had a unit that lapsed on payment or whether it was reactivated.
Yeah.
You know, that's two Americans working there to do things that they shouldn't have to be doing in this. The federal government is supposed to, because this is what we pay taxes for, right?
Yeah.
And you have Trump running a GoFundMe for these people. You know, Trump was the one out there looking presidential.
Yeah.
Talking to the National Guard, talking to FEMA.
The other two are AWOL.
Totally.
And this is a pattern of behavior here. I mean, there was the East Palestine, Ohio toxic train derailment.
Yeah.
Nope. Biden has yet to go there.
Yeah.
Pete Buttigieg arrived in his Brooks Brothers disaster gear for like 2 days or 2 hours, I should say, and then left. Maui, the deadliest wildfire in American history in at least 100 years.
Uh-huh.
Doesn't do anything there. Drags ass getting out there. And now we have this, you know, natural disaster with Helene, and they're AWOL again. When disaster strikes, these two go into the bunker, and they don't know what to do because they think that giving a speech, publishing, posting a statement, and making a few phone calls is the job. And, you know, from top to bottom, you just can't. I mean, it's already, they're incompetent, and they've hired a circus of incompetence. So it's just, it's just emblematic of this administration. And it happens now, and it should be, if this was a Republican, this would be getting wall-to-wall coverage.
Yeah.
Of all the problems that you just highlighted. And,
Yeah. It's not even a question.
Yeah.
And
it's disqualifying. It's arguably disqualifying.
Well, there's a real question here. If they don't give a fuck about these people.
Yeah.
Because basically every single area devastated by this is hardcore Republican.
Except for Asheville.
That's one town.
Yeah.
I'm talking from where it made landfall.
Yeah.
All the way up.
Oh, for sure.
You superimpose the electoral map over it. There's maybe three or four counties that are blue.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's people say that's the reason why Trump didn't go to Ohio. So.
You mean Biden?
Biden.
Yeah.
That's the
Trump. Joe Biden over here. God, you're getting old.
Sorry. Yeah, I am getting old. I am getting old. But Trump did go to Ohio.
No, I know. I knew what you meant. It really just makes my blood boil. And now the fact that FEMA's running out of hurricane money, they say.
Yeah, I know. What the hell's that about?
I'll tell you exactly I want to tee you up. Is they fucking diverted FEMA money to go to the fucking illegals.
Yeah.
That's a fact.
Yep.
I can tell you that's a fact.
Yeah.
DHS diverted FEMA money to go to illegals. And that is why they're out of hurricane money. So don't let them fucking fool you when they say, oh, well, you know, these disasters are expensive because of climate change. Yep. And that's another fucking thing.
Yeah.
This has nothing to do with climate change. If you ask anybody who knows anything about weather or meteorology or any of that, that is not on the fucking paid grifter climate change train, they will tell you there's a specific reason this happened. It was a once in a thousand year atmospheric setup where you had a freaking massive trough coming down through the country, essentially a cold front. Right, that pulled the hurricane up into the United States, right? And because of this fast forward motion and the pull in the atmosphere caused it to rapidly intensify with massive precipitable water values. And when it came up through Georgia and into North Carolina, it slammed into the mountains. And you know what happens when a fucking hurricane slams into the mountains? It pulls every last bit of moisture out of that hurricane, because once that comes up against the mountains, there's a very specific effect. I forget the name of it, but this, you know, look this up. People that are honest are the ones that are telling the truth about this, you know, that this is not climate change, that this is just a very rare event that happened, and it can happen. And it's happened before. I think it happened in 1952, I believe, to Asheville. Mm. They got a double hurricane, I believe.
Oh.
And it came together and smashed into the fucking mountains, and they got, you know, 30, 40 inches of rain, which is what happened now.
Dams fail. And
this happens. It, you know, and it's awful, but it's not climate change. You know, I hate when I see that. Oh, my God.
Well, every single time, you know, that's the go-to.
Well, you know, it's every weather.
Yeah, it's the go-to.
Too hot, too cold, too dry, too wet.
Too many tornadoes, too few tornadoes. Yeah,
too many hurricanes, too few hurricanes. Yeah. You know, this was supposed to be a record hurricane season.
Yeah.
And technically, it's not. Now, we've taken multiple direct hits just because of where they're forming. But as far as the number of named storms and major hurricanes, we're actually below average right now.
Yeah.
And there's going to be a couple more coming up over the next few weeks. But, you know, this whole thing is just ridiculous. And you know, these people, American, it's just America last.
Yeah.
That's the Biden-Harris doctrine is America last. You know, they spend over $250 billion on a useless fucking war in Ukraine, but now they have no money for American citizens who have lost everything. I mean, it's ridiculous. And you talk to people on the ground there, FEMA still
is not there.
It's
pretty much people with, you know, flying private helicopters and stuff delivering aid.
And then FEMA threatens them with jail.
Yeah.
So you don't fly in our zone. There's no temporary flight restriction. I checked. No.
Yeah.
I mean, it's insanity. It's absolute insanity. And the fact that this is happening in our country, and I mean, this would never happen under President Trump, but the fact that it's happening in our country is just disgusting. And I really do think a lot of it has to do with the fact of who these people are. And they're certainly not Biden supporters. And now they're especially not Biden supporters, Biden-Harris supporters. You see out in Tennessee... you wrote about this.
Which
the looters.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's gangs of illegals.
A roving gang of looters, just, of course, Kamala's illegals.
Trying to steal from a flood-ravaged residents in eastern Tennessee.
Yeah.
They got him, though.
Yep.
They got him.
You know, perhaps FEMA should have focused, instead of their list of goals that they put out, you know, for the past 4 years.
Yeah.
Goal one, instill equity as a foundation of emergency management. Signed by Joe Biden, executive order January 21st, 2021.
Yep.
The second day he's in office. Equity. You know what that equity means?
It means
that means that if you're a poor white Republican, you're not getting fucking shit.
No aid.
That's what that means.
But this storm
aid was given to the fucking illegals.
If it hit hit Newark, New Jersey, there'll be everybody there right now.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, it's just disgusting. So you got all that going on, and it's going to continue to go on. It's going to take years for those people to recover.
Yeah.
But I'll tell you what I'm actually really concerned with in the short term. Obviously, saving anyone's lives you can, although if you're missing for 5 days at this point, unfortunately,
I think it's probably
washed away.
It's a body recovery.
And I mean, hopefully not the whole 700 people. Hopefully a lot of that's just a lack of communication.
Yeah.
But, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if 200 of them are. I mean, the floods were unbelievable. I say biblical. I mean, absolutely biblical.
People were trapped in their home. Everyone's like, why didn't they? I'm like, this is a flash flood. People were trapped.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, it rises. I mean, within seconds, you're I mean, all you can do is, like you said, go up to onto your roof or into the attic.
Yeah. And these places are up in the mountains.
Just basically.
These are not like low-lying New Orleans type
area. Governor Cooper lied about that.
Oh, yeah.
He said basically this is a low-lying issue. I'm like, no, there are people in the mountains who are posting stuff before they lost all their internet that shit was coming down. And, you know, all you got to do is obviously get the safety within the safest part of your home, but also pray that it doesn't, you know, mudslides, right? I mean, I saw homes floating down, downriver.
So
there's also that horrible, apparently coffins were popping up too.
Yeah. Well, that happens in flooding.
Yeah.
You know, the water table floats up and then all the coffins come out of the cemeteries. That does happen a lot, but, that happens particularly also in places like New Orleans. But, it really is so sad and infuriating to me that this is happening in our country because it really didn't need to. And this was a very well forecast event. FEMA was totally unprepared. Totally unprepared.
It's just baffling.
And the amount of funding that they have that they've now given to all the illegals, there's no excuse for it. And you now see people like Ron DeSantis and President Trump stepping up when that's not their job. Ron DeSantis restored all of Florida's power, by the way, within 5 days. There was over 1.2 million customers in Florida without power.
Yeah.
I think it's down to like 28,000 now, which is astounding.
Yeah.
I mean, he
mobilizes the fleet, though.
Yeah. He has it down to a science. Yeah,
he has those guys mobilized.
You know, this was a Cat 4 hurricane that landfall directly in Florida. And not only that, the entire west coast of Florida took major surge damage.
Yeah.
But they made sure everyone was safe, that they cleaned up and they restored as much as they could. Obviously, you know, recovery takes a while, but they restored all vital services. And then he says, you know what? I'm going to send help up to my friends in North Carolina. He sent a whole battalion of emergency managers up there with temporary bridges to reestablish roads across washout, bridges.
Yeah.
Linemen to help with restoration of power. You know, that's what the federal government should be doing, not him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, obviously, great for him that he's able to do that. And Youngkin's done a great job here in Virginia. You know, it was only a small portion of Virginia that was affected, but badly down there. You know, Virginia was sending emergency helicopter teams over into Tennessee to help with water rescues. You know, that the federal government should be doing that.
Yeah.
You know, that should be National Guard and Coast Guard that are being activated by the feds. So FEMA is just, it really needs a total overhaul when President Trump comes in, and I'm confident that they'll be able to do so. But there's no excuse for this not being prepared nonsense, because I, as an amateur fucking weather weenie that likes, you know, tracking weather, saw this coming.
Well, we saw it for days.
And the National Weather Service forecasted it too.
Yeah.
You know, I will say the National Hurricane Center and the NOAA, the National Weather Service, forecasted this storm to a T. They 5 days out, they basically predicted the exact point this storm was going to landfall, and that'd be a major hurricane. And then they said exactly where it was going to go. And I think it was three or four days ahead of time, they were warning people up in this area that it was, you know, devastating, life-changing flooding that was going to be coming.
Yeah.
Now, I think a lot of people, unfortunately, wrote it off. Or, you know, you don't necessarily have anywhere to go either. And, no one really in 70 years or so has seen this kind of flooding down there. So they didn't think it was going to be that bad. It's a complacency bias.
Yeah.
You know, it happened. It's the same thing with tornado warnings. You see it all the time in the Midwest. Tornado warnings go off. They're like, oh, we get these all the fucking time. Tornadoes come.
And then it
eventually,
comes. And then
eventually it a fucking you. Tornado comes, yeah, you know? I mean, and that's why it's so key to be prepared. But, you know, FEMA is a disgrace. You know, this makes Katrina look well run.
Yeah.
And Katrina, you know, Katrina was a tough situation, wasn't handled the best. They supposedly made a lot of changes post Katrina.
Yeah.
And then Biden just wiped all that away.
Yeah, great.
So.
Great guy. The adults are back.
Yeah.
The adults are back, man.
I mean, you could tell by how much I had to say on that, it really pisses me off. It's unbelievable. All right, let's talk about what's going on here in America still. Another crisis. The docks.
The longshoremen.
Are shut down because the longshoremen, those, you know, I don't know which side to take here. There's a lot of problems. First, I'm not sure that the membership is 100% behind their piece of shit, scumbag, mob boss, union boss that they have.
Yeah, that guy.
Yeah, that guy fucking sucks. You know, I'm not going to advocate violence, but, you know, just saying, it'd be a real shame if anything happened to that guy. He is a scumbag. He is now holding hostage America for perhaps the greediest proposal I've seen in the history of union bullshit.
Yeah.
They say, well, the companies need to come with us with a reasonable offer. Well, the companies came to them with a very fucking reasonable offer.
50% raise.
50%.
Yeah. They wanted 75.
Which they is got, insane. No, they, 77.
It was 77. Oh, see, that's
insane.
Right.
Insane.
They got 50. Insane.
Who the fuck is getting 50 to 75% raises right now?
I know.
And sure, you know what? I was reading some of their salaries are not that high in certain areas with high cost of living. Well, guess whose fucking fault that is? Kamala Harris and Joe Biden.
Yeah.
Okay. Even further beyond their ridiculous salary requests. And if anyone is listening to this podcast and is a longshoreman and wants to prove me wrong, please email me, triggered@townhall.com. I'd love to hear from you and hear why I'm wrong about this, but this is my understanding of the situation. Beyond the ridiculous salary requests, which nobody else in the country is getting, by the way, they want a lifetime guarantee that no automation will ever be used in any of those ports.
Yeah. I think that's the reason why they went on strike.
Get the fuck out of here.
Yeah.
First off, that puts us at an insane competitive disadvantage against the rest of the world. Okay. You think that that's the case in China?
No, it's all automated.
You know how they operate that shit in China?
Everybody's in a room with a
fucking joystick.
Yeah.
Okay. Secondly, that impedes so much progress, you know, the progress, not in the term of progressive, but progress of technology and efficiency in this country. You need to advance technologically to advance as a country, as an economy, as a society. And they're like, no, we have to put a stop to that completely.
Yeah.
I mean, it is just insane, the level of greed. And not only that, that they would do this now, just after one of the worst disasters in the country's history, where we need to be bringing in supplies and materials to not just feed the people that are suffering in the Southeast, but rebuild their homes. You know, a lot of DeSantis went on a rant about this today, and he's right. It's totally unconscionable, he said, that they would do this in a time where we need to be bringing in supplies, particularly to the Southeast, which is majorly affected by this, and especially Florida. And so that's ridiculous. That's another crisis that's all Kamala and Joe Biden's doing.
Funny how, like, the most pro-union president ever, right? Mr. Joe Union.
Can't manage to get a fucking deal done.
Can't manage to get the deal done on multiple fronts.
Mm-hmm.
Multiple fronts. railroads, and now showmen. I mean, it's been the UPS, auto workers union. There's been strikes galore. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah, well, that's just another crisis in the books here in the United States. We, of course, in addition, have the illegal immigration crisis. We have the crime crisis, the opioid crisis, the housing crisis, which is worsened.
Oh, because they're giving all the free stuff to illegals. Yeah.
Which that bitch whore again tried to say in a fact check last night.
Yeah.
Margaret Brennan's like, well, there's no proof of that. And like, J.D. Vance is like, well, how about the fucking Federal Reserve study that was released a couple weeks ago that this is directly leading to inflation in housing?
Yeah.
And he posted it on social media afterwards. Yeah, it's there's nothing good going on. And I love last night when we were watching the debate, someone beforehand, I think it was Harold, whatever the fuck his name is on Fox News.
Harold Ford Jr.
Yes. It's like, I'm looking for someone to play out, you know, a lot of optimism tonight about how the country and blah, blah, blah. I'm like, optimism? What the fuck are you going to be optimistic about? Have you seen the world?
Yeah.
Have you seen the state of our country? Because we haven't even gotten to the fact that we're on the precipice of fucking World War III.
Yeah.
I mean,
it could start tonight.
Yeah, well, we're gonna get to that in a second. But, you know, how about a little bit of realism here? I love when they say that.
Yeah.
Oh, President Trump laying out his dark assessment of America and how America is dead, blah, blah. I'm like, yeah, well,
America is dead.
Maybe you should listen to some normal people and hear about how they're struggling to survive out there. I mean, you know, we're lucky. We have good jobs. We don't have kids, right, to support. And it's not easy.
Well, that we know of.
It's not easy. I can't imagine how, you know, a lower middle class family of four, you know, with two kids is surviving.
Oh, no way. No way.
I just don't know.
No way. You
know? I go to the store to get four fucking things. It's $100.
I know, it's ridiculous.
You know, how do you shop for a family?
Yeah.
And that's just groceries.
Yeah.
What about clothes for school, school supplies, right? Yeah. Child care, health care. I mean, they've put us into such a position here where how can you be optimistic about what's going on?
Yeah.
Sure, I'll be optimistic if Trump wins the election, that maybe a better day is coming for America. But if Kamala wins, you know,
but wait, she has a plan for Soviet-style price controls at the grocery store.
Yeah.
Which is going to solve everything, I've heard.
Well, she's trying to be Republican in all her flip-flops, which is fucking hilarious, by the way. If Kamala wins, it's over.
Oh, yeah.
You know, last person out, turn off the lights, because the party's fucking over.
Yeah.
We will have gone the way of the Roman Empire and just destroyed our own country from the inside. We would have beat communism in the 80s and 90s, and then willfully voted it in 2024.
Yeah.
You know, pending funny business, blah, 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 and all that. But,
Jesus.
And I'll actually have some thoughts on that later, but I'll keep that for our 2024 second. But really, I mean, that's, you know, that's, and then people are, oh, yeah, well, you got to be optimistic. Fuck that. I'm a realist. You know that.
Yeah.
Everybody listens knows that. And I'm telling you that if we lose this election, it is over. Done. Kaput. And all the more reason to fight harder out there every day than you ever have before. And I part of why I'm actually very concerned in North Carolina is because we need to get those people to vote.
Yeah.
The voting infrastructure is gone, right? Where are they going to vote? The schools are washed away. You know, mail is suspended. So I don't know, you know, we're doing some investigation here into what the North Carolina Board of Elections is going to do to make sure these Republican voters, reliably Republican voters, are not disenfranchised. But I can guarantee you that if it was a blue area,
they would have
the fucking Department of Justice Civil Rights Division would be down there on the ground now.
Yeah, probably.
They're not.
They're not, I know.
Shocker.
Seems intentional.
Yeah, and so that's, I guess, to sum up the domestic issues that we've got going on, that's about where we're at.
So things
now
are great, right, guys? Things are great.
You know, you know what?
Huh? Oh, we've got about the ICE report?
We didn't have an episode last week.
I know.
These weeks feel like years.
Yeah, I know.
Did you write about, you know about this. Yeah. So tell us
about
this
ICE report. Okay, so Remember Kamala's big border visit last Friday to Arizona?
Yes.
She goes to Arizona to have her photo op. As she's there, this ICE report drops, and it is absolutely unbelievable. Over 400,000 known criminals allowed, imported in by Biden Harris, including tens of thousands of known rapists and murderers. This happens as she's doing her photo op. She's also wearing a, supposedly a $60,000 necklace.
It was, yes.
Yeah, during this thing. Uh-huh. It's just an absolute catastrophe. And of course, she gets cover because none of the major news networks covered it that night.
Yeah.
None of them. Yeah. Obviously, no shock. I'm not telling you anything you don't know, folks.
Yeah.
But I mean, that is, you know, it's incompetence. How can you say that we don't, I mean, this is why so many people are going towards Trump, because they're allowing in all the scum of the earth, literally. You remember when Trump said they're bringing their rapists and their murderers?
Yeah.
And he got, raked over the coals. It's
true.
It's now become true.
Fact check.
It's now become true.
I mean, we all fucking knew.
Oh, we all knew that. But now it's like, now we got fucking hard numbers.
Yeah. Yeah.
So.
I mean, just murderers.
Yeah.
Convicted murderers.
Convicted murderers.
14,000.
Yeah, and then I think almost 16,000 rapists. Yeah. Or some sort of sexual predator.
Roaming. Oh, and a bunch more kiddie rapists.
Yeah.
Human traffickers.
Yeah. Oh, that was a great. Sorry, not to go back to the. That was a great point.
Yeah.
Right there, that Vance made, that the ultimate child separation policy is the Kamala Joe immigration policy, which has lost 320,000 kids.
Yeah, well, that's because they were all trafficked by the
probably.
Cartels.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, I know JD kind of tried to smooth it, being like, I hope they're back with their families or they're someplace safe. I'm like, JD, Senator, they've been trafficked.
They're gone. They're getting raped daily.
Yeah, they're in sex camps. It's done.
Yeah.
So that was a great point, and it's like no one cares.
Yeah.
Like 320,000 fucking kids?
I know.
Subjected to nonstop rape?
I know.
Are we like, and now, you know, and those fucking, you know, this is what we're talking about, you know, it gets back to the whole, they bring them here, they bring them to places like Springfield, Ohio, and then they tell the local municipalities, oh, you guys got to soak up all the costs.
Mm-hmm.
House these people, rapists, murderers everywhere, it's out of control. And they're chopping up the ducks, they're eating the dogs, they're eating the cats, you know, it's just everyone's pets are being grilled, it's horrible.
Tim Walz is sucking off horses.
Yeah, sucking off horses. Fucking traffic cones.
All right.
And then Kamala's
driving. That's where I draw the line.
Yeah, okay. Kamala's driving drunk and hitting people.
Well, that's okay. That's maybe.
Maybe. But her husband, her husband now is slapping people like Ike Turner.
That's confirmed.
Yes.
I was going to bring that up. Yeah. So great segue.
Catch these hands, woman.
Yeah. Yeah, so, you know, 2 days after Jen Psaki, in a interview where she was
basically
giving a hand job to Doug Emhoff on live TV,
Jesus Christ.
She says, "You've redefined masculinity," right? That's the quote.
Yeah,
I think.
Yeah, you
redefined masculinity.
Yes.
Well, turns out he was beating his bitch like Ike Turner because this was an ex-girlfriend, right?
Yeah.
This happened the year before he started dating Kamala. Yeah. So this was 2012.
Caused her to lose her balance. That's how hard the hit was.
Yeah, he smacked her good.
Smacked her.
Through, I think it was a report from the Daily Mail,
I believe. Yeah.
But
there's three people who they have corroborating evidence. There's emails and texts. It's bad. It already was bad because he blew up his first marriage when he knocked up the nanny. So, and which, by the way, we don't know what happened.
Had an abortion.
We know that now?
I think we know it's an abortion. Yeah.
The affair baby, because we did not know anything about the fate of the affair baby.
Yeah, the abortion. Yeah.
Oh my God.
He's a good one. Yeah. Classic.
Goes to Soul Cycle with his gay pals and beats women and knocks up nannies and gets the abortions. It's just, it's typical Democratic male voter.
I can't dispute any of that. Yeah. Can't dispute any
what
of that.
What a country. Him what a
and,
guy.
Yeah. Him and Tim Walz are both really great appeals to men in this country.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, I'll tell you, the vote split between men and women is going to be the most stark difference we've ever seen in the history of this country.
Because the women want the pussy ass bitches, you know. It is what it is, you know. They want these beta soy boy folk, and you know, everyone else wants normal men.
Yeah.
Like, you know, I mean, for lack of a better term.
Well, you know, men also don't like Kamala. That's, I mean, that's a given.
But
right?
We also don't like men who, you know, start gesticulating when they see the gopher at the Minnesota Michigan game and he starts raping the gopher on the football field.
Yeah. Or cheering at a football game to an empty field. Did you see that one? That was a good one too. Yeah.
Whoever took that photo should just be fired. Why would you post that?
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you what. It's a, you know, we're going to come back to the 2024. I want to hit the World War III stuff first.
Okay.
So, we're going to go bad, dark, and then we're going to go back to good.
Back to good.
You know, so over the last two or so weeks, Israel obviously has been eliminating the entire top leadership of Hezbollah. They essentially crushed all offensive capability that Iran had through Hezbollah in Lebanon. They did a little incursion into Lebanon, invasion essentially, to crush the Hezbollah positions. And they killed in an airstrike Nasrallah, the secretary general of Hezbollah, which is just a made up position.
And the rest of his minions, I think, were in there.
Oh, his whole upper staff.
I mean, it was a big meeting.
They're all dead.
They blew him the fuck up.
They're all dead. The people that are air quote running Hezbollah now were people that 2 weeks ago weren't even considered important enough to have a fucking Hezbollah pager.
Yeah, there was the fucking bagel boys. I know.
Yeah, yeah. So,
or the hummus boys.
So there's not much, you know, there's not much left of Hezbollah.
There isn't.
So, of course, Iran being very upset about this because the Ayatollah and this Nasrallah guy were apparently butt buddies, allegedly. And there was also a goat involved.
The goat.
They now Iran fired the largest ballistic missile attack in history at Israel yesterday afternoon. Luckily, the only casualty of said event was some terrorist scumbag in, where was that at?
It was in Gaza, right?
Yeah, the missile missed. Or no, it was intercepted.
Yeah.
It was intercepted. And the shrapnel fell on him.
Fell on him.
Great video of this available online.
Oh, crushed him.
Yeah. Yeah. Very ironic that the only person that they killed in that, when they were trying to kill thousands of Jews, was one Muslim terrorist of their own making. But some missiles did get through. Quite a few actually did get through.
Yeah.
Luckily, through, you know, the grace of God, no Israeli died. But now we're at the precipice of the major war that we've been talking about for months.
Yeah.
Where you have Israel now firmly still engaged in Gaza. You have them now firmly engaged in the north with Lebanon. But having taken out most of Hezbollah, so, you know, fighting there is not so much the war we're concerned with anymore, but now it's a direct war with Iran because Israel is going to respond. I would not be surprised if the jets were taking off as we speak.
Yeah.
They're going to respond, and the question is, how hard are they going to respond? Are they going to take out military sites of Iran in Iran's homeland? Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
That's a given. Are they going to take out oil drilling sites and refineries?
I think so.
Now the question is, how far do they go on that? Do they take out one? Do they take out all of them? Do they take out their biggest one? If they take out all of them, Iran has threatened to light the entire Middle East's oil fields on fire, including attacking Saudi Arabia and all over Iraq and all that stuff, which could really get out of hand quick. Now, do they even have the power to do that? Not so sure.
No.
They do have a very, very large missile supply.
They do.
And you know why they have those missiles?
Oh, I think it was Joe Biden?
Yes. Yep. Biden lifted the sanctions that Trump put in place.
Yep.
So that's the next step up. And then the next step past that is Iran's nuclear facilities, which they're reportedly mere weeks away
from getting a bomb.
From the inception of a bomb.
Yeah.
Now, I actually thought that Iran might test a nuke here in this 24 hours after the attack as a deterrence measure. They have not done that, which leads me to believe they're not there yet.
It's not there yet,
and we still have this small window
to get it to end. Yeah.
And without that, without their crown jewel of potential deterrence and attack, Iran will be done.
Yeah.
So I think that Bibi's going to go all the way up to that. There's some strategists that are saying he's going to go for the fucking Ayatollah.
That's what I was about to say. I think he's going to try to get him.
At this point, if BB wants to do it.
When you fire ballistic missiles like that, I'm sorry, everybody's a target now.
If BB wants to do it and just take out the fucking Ayatollah and throw Iran into total chaos, at this point, I'm fine with it. Because you know what you got to realize here? We have the luxury of looking at this from halfway across the world.
Mm-hmm.
But you know who doesn't have the luxury of that? The millions of Israelis in that country who are living under constant threat of missile and rocket fire from all fucking angles.
Yeah.
And this is a year, a full year on Monday, after the worst terror attack in their history, equivalent to essentially, you know, five of our 9/11s,
yeah.
You know, thinking of it in that scale, which yeah. people really still feel like struggle to think of. You know, they see, oh, you know, 1,200 murdered.
Yeah.
With 200 hostages taken back, brutally raped, beaten, still some hostages.
There's still 98 hostages.
You know, how many of them are alive? We don't know. Yeah, probably not that yeah. many. But, you know, just atrocities, outright atrocities. How would we have responded if Muslim militants paratrooped into New York City and started beating and raping our women and murdered 1,200 people?
Turn that country into a barrier reef.
Yeah, into literally, a parking lot.
To
yeah.
a barrier reef, yeah.
And so that, you know, obviously mm-hmm. led to the first part of the war. But now there's still 8,000 rockets have been fired from Hezbollah into Israel since that event yeah. on October 7th. 8,000.
Yeah.
Would we accept that? Would we accept Mexico doing that? We would have fucking gotten rid of them a long time ago. So, you know, all these people who are like, oh, well, you know, you got to give a little restraint, blah, blah, blah. Joe Biden today asked about, well, should Iran or should Israel get rid of Iran's nuclear facilities? No, they shouldn't do that.
Well, this is the guy that's been wrong about foreign policy for the past 40 years.
No. What fucking use to us is them having nuclear facilities? You're already being a pussy and not chiming in here and giving them the full support of us participating in the retaliatory strikes.
That's to save Barack Obama's crowning foreign policy
change. If Trump was president, first off, none of this, all the way back to October 7th, would have ever happened. The Middle East was at peace, right?
Yeah.
But that being said, if it had happened, this would have already been done because we would have helped him take care of it.
Yeah.
There is not a doubt in my mind. And I think that I agree with you. I think BB is going to get rid of the nuke sites, at least a couple of them.
Yeah.
The ones that he thinks are maybe closer than others. They can't let them get a nuke.
No. They're going to use it.
Yeah.
They're going to, we know for sure they're going
to
use
it. And it's not even a matter of, okay, well, you have to develop the nuke, right? And then you have to develop the way to put it on the ICBM, which is a whole other thing. No. You know what they'll fucking do? They'll drive it into fucking Tel Aviv and set it off.
Yeah.
You think that they can't find one fucking martyr that wants to do that?
Yeah.
I mean, look at how fucking insane they are.
Yeah.
You know, they blow themselves up all the fucking time. Look at the suicide attack yesterday.
Yeah.
At the train station.
The missiles were falling.
Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, it's time. It's time to end it. And BB is going to be the one to end it. And you know I've been saying this for years.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
Especially most anyone who's listened to Triggered for some since the beginning know that I've been saying this for years. That BB knows that his life mission and his legacy now, after standing up against immense global pressure here, he is cementing himself as one of history's most important people.
David personified.
In saving our asses.
Yeah.
Because we're being a bunch of fucking losers right now and not doing the job that needs to be done. Our ships are all over there.
Yeah.
We're spending the money anyway.
Yeah.
Why not send the fucking planes to do the job?
Also, the Biden administration lied. They said that if U.S. Personnel is targeted, we would respond. That's already happened. Before this ballistic missile attack, there was the Houthis, I believe.
Who were a direct Iran affiliate.
Who fired on U.S. warships in the region. So
drones
that's
and missiles,
already yeah, that's already happened. We've already been attacked.
What the fuck happened to Kamala is there's no U.S. troops in any war zone around the world.
That was just unbelievable.
Yeah. I mean, this is just crazy.
I mean, the amount of carrier groups that we have in the area, we could successfully administer war.
We could
execute a war.
No.
Now.
Think of this. I read this the other day, and I had to look into this, and this is true.
Yeah,
we have more carriers, ships, subs, troops stationed off the coast over there in the Middle East right now than we had during the fucking Iraq War.
What? Whoa. Okay.
Yeah.
Whoa.
Yeah. The National Guard here in the United States has been silently deployed to the entire fucking Middle East.
All right. So, okay. Yeah. So that's like 500.
You know, the same idea as Tim Walz abandoning his unit right before.
So like, we're talking at least 500,000 personnel.
You know, I don't know about that high, but I mean, the amount of ships and planes.
We had 250 on the ground for the invasion.
Yeah. But the amount of ships and planes and firepower, right? I'm not talking about a ground invading force, not as much.
God, no.
But like the amount of just gross U.S. tonnage over there, the tanks that are on all these ships. I mean, you know, we could invade if we want to. You know, we don't want to ground invade Iran. No. But at this point, why are we not bombing the Houthis into the fucking Stone Age?
Yeah.
I don't understand that.
The Israelis are doing it.
You know, they direct. The Houthis fired one missile at Tel Aviv, and the Israelis blew up their entire fucking oil refinery.
Yeah, I know. And then Biden's decides to confuse it with an oil labor dispute.
Well, yeah.
That was not a thing.
But, you know, if you say, okay, you don't want to get into direct war with Iran, I can understand that. Nobody really wants a direct war with Iran, but that's the way this is going, unfortunately.
But the terrorists are egging one on. Yeah, so the Houthis
are a bunch of people with sticks.
Yeah.
They're firing these fucking drones and missiles at our ships, and why don't we just send a fucking F-35 over them? Little laser-guided bombs, bing, 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 as Trump would say.
Bing, bing, bang, bing. Yeah. Also, the Houthi rebels, another fault of the Obama foreign policy. I don't know if you remember. Remember, Yemen in 2014, this is the blueprint for future counter-terror operations. What, like a month later, total civil war breaks out, the president has to flee the capital, and then the country has been split ever since. I think didn't the Saudis invade for a little bit?
Yeah.
They did. Yeah. And what the hell happened there?
Yeah. They finished whatever they wanted to do and pulled back. Let's not forget that Trump brokered a historic realignment of the Middle East.
Oh, yeah.
And at this point, the Saudis are still on Israel's side.
Yeah, the crown prince apparently is done with the Palestinians.
Yeah, he said that. Yeah, he's like, I don't give a fuck about them.
He's like, listen, Israel's staying, and I think people need just
and
to
he hates
accepted.
Iran.
Oh, they're, yeah, they're regional born, ally. They're regional rivals.
They're their born enemies. Yeah. Sunni and Shia.
Yeah.
So, if Israel attacks Iran, which is a certainty, right? Yeah. Iran says they're going to respond and retaliate, which, by the way, Iran fired missiles at our troops in Iraq the other night.
Yeah.
Underreported incident.
Those bases are just just a shooting gallery. No one gives a shit.
Yeah. Yeah. Because we don't have the balls to retaliate at all anywhere in the world at this point. Anywhere.
It's a very Obama-esque protocol right there.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, what?
Not shocking.
What was it? Iran did something and then... This was during Trump, when they were supposedly going and marching towards war with Iran. Iran did something. We fired back in a major escalation. Then they did something again. We killed Qassem Soleimani.
Yeah.
They warned us, hey, we're going to fire some missiles at your bases. Be careful, because they didn't want to actually kill anybody and escalate anything further.
Yeah.
And then we stopped.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
But there's no Trump there anymore. They know Biden's a joke. They know Kamala's a joke.
Yeah.
Why do you think the Iranians hacked the Trump campaign to try to help Kamala get elected?
Yeah. Yeah.
That's the most fucking obvious thing I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah.
I mean, it's crazy time that this is not talked about more often.
Yeah.
And
for obvious reasons.
This is just one part of the march towards World War III.
Yeah. We haven't even got it to Ukraine. We haven't touched Ukraine.
You mean
yet.
The fact that Joe Biden has given long range missiles to Ukraine and said, well, you know, don't target inside Russia with our US made weapons.
Yeah. Can those weapons reach Moscow?
Oh, absolutely.
Oh, great. Oh, great. So that's great. Yeah. Great.
Well, then that's what Zelensky wants to do. He wants to shoot them in Moscow. Yeah. And Biden said, no.
Don't do it.
But Biden was about to let him until Putin came out and said, if Moscow is targeted with these weapons, it is a NATO declaration of war on us. Geez. And then at that point, Biden's like, ooh, I don't know. Let me think about this a little more. And they haven't really done anything on it yet. I
feel like...
But, you know, that could happen at any moment. What if Ukraine says, you know, fuck their rules. We're going to shoot them.
Yeah.
And without our permission. But Biden's enabled that because he gave them to him already.
Yeah.
You know? I think it's kind of crazy that you just give them these weapons and say, well, don't do this with those weapons. If you're giving them the tools, they're going to do it.
Yeah. 100%.
You know, that's like giving an arsonist a can of gasoline and a fucking lighter
and say don't set burn fires. That house down. Yeah. Be Smokey the Bear. Don't set wildfires.
And so that's the problem. You know, Taiwan, we haven't even talked about Taiwan. I don't think that's going to happen right now.
But who knows? Could happen at any
moment. Because given how weak this guy looks, I would have invaded yesterday.
I mean, he could do it the day before the election.
Yeah, he probably could.
I mean, who knows? You know, they have the power to do it at any point. I don't know that they're going to. China's a mess at home economically.
Yeah,
totals.
They need to do something to distract people.
They're printing money out the ass right now. Their GDP is through the floor. Their stock market's crashing, which is a very, very bad sign for us because they're kind of upstream of the demand.
Yeah,
and that's a problem.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it's just all spiraling totally out of control. The whole world is circling the fucking toilet bowl.
But America is back. Remember, America is back.
Yeah, I mean, it's...
what the fuck does that even mean, Joe?
Joe Biden will go down as one of, if not the worst president in history. And Kamala Harris is the worst vice president in history.
Yeah.
Because she's enabled this. And she...
Well, she knew about his mental decline and did nothing.
Exactly.
She's part of the cover up.
Not that it would have been part better. Of the cover up. Not that it would have been better with her as president.
No, no.
But
we would have been nuked 5 times already by now.
No, but really, you know, and I think I said this to you the other day. I'm like, think of this, right? Back in the day, at least if we were going to get fucking nuked in the 60s, people had confidence that the president at least had some idea what was going on.
Yeah. And Democrats weren't, like, Democrats hated communists, too. I mean, we have both parties that were like, we're going to nuke them if they struck us.
You think if a fucking nukes launches today that Joe Biden or Kamala Harris or this government at all is going to be able to handle that?
No way.
Is going to be able to react in a timely manner to not only just make sure that the continuity of government, plan goes into place, getting the president and vice president to separate safe locations, Secretary of Defense in the bunker, and then prepare and potentially try to shoot down a fucking missile?
No.
Which, by the way, only has like a 13% success rate in early testing, which Trump is 100% right about the fact that we need to develop something very serious here in the homeland for that.
Yeah.
The space lasers is what we really need. But,
yes.
You know, we have the Patriot missile defense system, but you saw yesterday.
Israel has
Patriot missile defense system that we gave to them, of course, you know.
Yeah.
But look what got through.
Yeah.
Right?
If that's a nuke,
it's over.
It's over.
Yeah, it's over.
I mean, it's on paper, it's great. You know, 98% success, that's great, but that 2% is the end of the world.
Yeah.
We need that laser system.
You know, do we have any confidence that they could handle that? I mean, remember we've been saying...
They can't even handle a hurricane, man.
Yeah.
They couldn't even handle a train derailment.
Remember we've been saying that, God forbid, something very serious happens.
Yeah.
That requires immediate second-by-second response, right? Mm-hmm. They've failed that at every juncture so far, right? These have been slow-rolling disasters. The dock strike, the hurricane, right? You know, obviously there's stuff you can do in the moment to help the hurricane, but, you know, it's really a post-response type thing.
Yeah.
What happens when it's a in-the-moment response thing? What happens if somebody in New York sets off a bomb, right? What if there's a coordinated terror attack here in the United States in multiple different cities on soft targets and a cyber attack on our cellular wireless and our financial and our electrical systems all at the same time?
The threats are there. There was a guy who wanted to shoot up Jewish centers on October 7th.
Yeah.
They busted him at the Canadian border. Yeah.
And this time period between now and 35 days from now when the election occurs is the most dangerous time in American history since I don't even know when.
Yeah.
Because let's
just go to that Cuban Missile Crisis.
Probably.
I mean, we're on the edge of World War III, and we have a president who got kicked off his party's ticket because he's cognitively incapable of being president. So, great recipe.
And not just the threat of, you know, safety. Global nuclear war, which is obviously the worst case scenario in all that. But
the very minimum, a massive regional war between Israel and Iran. Right?
Well, sure, which could drag us into it for sure. You know, if we go into it, we just got to finish it.
Yeah, I agree.
But I really am concerned with something happening here in the homeland. You know that Verizon wireless outage that occurred this week?
Yes.
I guess that was Monday, maybe Tuesday, but I think it was Monday.
Yeah.
Someone told me that it was not just an accident.
Oh, my.
And there's been several...
we've had a bunch of these cellular outages
the
past 3.5 years, man. AT&T, too.
There's been several incidents of intrusions in the electrical grid system.
Uh,
911 system's going down?
You've seen the 911 system's going down many times. The 911
system's going down, man. Yeah.
You think that there's not going to be panic if there's news that breaks of a couple terror attacks in a couple cities across the country, which wouldn't take anything more than a couple people strapping you-know-what to their chest, right?
Yeah.
Then, all of a sudden, cellular network goes out.
Yeah.
Then, all communication goes out. The internet, TV.
Yep.
Then, electric goes down.
Yep.
No access to cash, no credit card payments.
Nothing.
People lose their shit immediately.
Yeah.
Civilization, as a society, would just crumble.
Yeah.
You know, people say, well, it would take about 48 hours, depending on where you are in the country, for it to crumble. I think it'd be a lot quicker than that. And, you know, people need to be prepared for that thing because, you know, I'm just saying, you never have heard anyone say in history, damn, I wish I was less prepared.
Yeah.
You know, I say that all the time.
Yeah.
And so, you know, if you haven't bought a gun yet, now's a great fucking time to do it because they're only going to go up after the election, regardless of who wins. Okay. Ammo is a pretty reasonable price. You know, keep some water on hand, keep some food on hand, keep some extra cash on hand.
MREs.
Yeah. You know, but there's stuff better than MREs. Yeah. Now. You know, Costco actually has a great deal. I think it's like $99 and you get like, it's like a 12 meal bucket for like a family of three or four.
Get radioactive gear. Chemical weapons gear.
If it's that serious, I'm done anyway. I'm not going that far. But
you know, they make those custom made like bunkers.
Oh, I know.
Digging,
if I was rich, I'd
I know.
Not rich, unfortunately.
That's a rich thing. But I mean, comes with its own air filtration system.
Well, you
and
know, that's what Zuckerberg built at his fucking Hawaii compound.
Oh my god,
was one of those underground
really?
Bunkers.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah.
I think.
Yeah.
Probably stocked with 25 years worth of food.
So, you know, it's a very dangerous time for this country.
Yeah.
And I would hate to not tell people what I have as my gut feeling on this. Mm-hmm. And, you know, just be careful. Be cognizant out there. If you're in a public crowded place, keep your eye out. If you see anything suspicious, who gives a fuck if it's profiling or racist? Tell a fucking cop.
Yeah.
Because that's how we stop something serious from happening.
Well, that's how San Bernardino could have been stopped.
Well, yeah.
No one would say anything.
It's how we save American lives. You know, how many times after these things happen where people are like, especially like that, oh, well, you know, the warning signs are there, but we didn't want to be racist.
Yeah, I didn't want to be politically
correct. Yeah, we didn't want to say these Muslims are building bombs all over the fucking place.
Bombs all over the floor. Yeah.
And so if you see something, especially in major cities, you know, you've seen the terrorists marching in the streets. You think one of them couldn't be radicalized easily? I mean,
you know me. I mean, I'm not one to give credit or say we need the FBI, but until we find something better, when they were in those streets, facial recognition technology, put them all on a list.
Oh, for sure.
Put them all on a list. I don't care how many goddamn names there are.
Well,
every single one of those persons there is capable of terrorism.
Well, the problem is they're not doing that. They have now turned the entire DOJ and FBI apparatus against white people.
Oh, yeah. And pro-lifers.
Domestic extremists.
Yeah. PTA attendees.
Yeah, the parents who dare to speak up against school boards.
Yeah.
And that, you know.
That would have been a major scandal.
That's what makes this time period even more dangerous, is the fact that they have taken their eye completely off the ball. Completely off the ball.
Yeah.
And they're more worried about finding January 6th people than they are about finding the thousands of terrorists, confirmed terrorists, that Kamala has led into the country.
Yeah.
You know, it's only a matter of time.
Yeah.
It really is. And I can't believe it hasn't happened yet.
And
it makes me really think
that
they were, you know, plotting this for maximum effect in the lead up to the election to sow total chaos here at home. You know, just think, you know, it won't take much to, you know, in their eyes, quote, destroy America from within.
No.
We are in probably the weakest point we've ever been, you know?
Yeah, since Carter.
Well, you know, obviously in the lead up to 9/11, we didn't think that anything was going to happen. It was a failure of imagination. I just hate to see that happen again.
Yeah.
We need to be imagining that these things can happen and prepare for them because our government sure as fuck's not. And that's what their main job is, but they're totally negligent, don't give a fuck. And they don't care if Americans die. Look at what happened in North Carolina.
Yeah.
I mean, they're not coming to save you. So you got to save yourself. You got to protect yourself, protect your family, protect your property. And that's all you got left at the end of the day. So very uplifting segment there. You know, I'm just saying it's how I really feel. Yeah. And I know,
we're not going to lie to you.
I know. I know
we're not going to pull Tim Wall's joy vibes and all that bullshit.
That's not me ever. Even during joyful times.
Yeah, we ain't doing that here.
You know, I know a lot of people with a lot of bit of no, and they are very, very concerned about what's going to happen. So that's all we'll leave it at. All right. So we're going to get here to a little bit of 2024 stuff.
Oh.
And I said that this would be the uplifting segment because I actually think that we're in the strongest position that we've been of this entire election cycle to win this election.
Yeah.
Not just win this election, but win the Senate and win the House as well.
The House too. Yeah. Nice.
You look at the polling across the board. It's kind of all over the place, but I can tell you one thing that's extremely, extremely surprisingly consistent is that Trump is polling 3 to 5 points ahead of where he was at this point in either 2016 or 2020. And if that's the case and these samples are still fucking skewed to Democrats and you have a Gallup poll coming out that for the first time in 20 years, more Americans identify themselves as Republicans and Democrats.
Good news.
Then we're going to win the election.
Yeah.
Now, no reason to get complacent.
Yeah.
You get out there.
Oh, it's still tight.
You tell all your friends to fucking vote like there's no tomorrow and tell them to tell their friends to vote like there's no tomorrow. Because if everybody finds a couple of low propensity voters that don't usually go out there and vote in states that, you know, are close, we'll win the election. I actually think there's a sneaky chance of a landslide.
Ooh.
I think we could get, you know, they talk about 2016 while Trump won, you know, lost the popular vote, but it was an electoral college landslide. And that's what I think could happen. I actually think Trump could win the popular vote.
Ooh.
I mean, if you know, you've seen these polls, you look at these numbers.
A lot of them don't make any sense, to be honest here.
Well, I think that a lot of them don't make sense because the pollsters are still living in the old paradigm.
Yeah.
The old paradigm of that Republicans are rich white people.
Yeah.
Right?
But it's now exclusively working class party. Yeah.
Flipped.
Yeah.
The Republicans are now the working class party.
Yeah.
And the white, rich, college educated, liberal elite are the Democrats.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And you know, the Democrats still have that core of certain demographic groups like black women, older Latino women, you know. But the idea that if you're not white, you're automatically going to vote Democrat in this country is totally gone.
No.
Busted. No. And pollsters cannot wrap their head around that.
It's too late for them to recalibrate.
Well, yeah. I think that's why you're seeing such weird numbers in certain situations.
Yeah.
You're seeing, you know, do you see that poll that came out earlier? We were just talking about this before we started recording.
Mm-hmm.
Arab Americans.
Yeah.
A group that Biden won by 30 points in 2020 is +1 for Trump.
Yeah.
Okay. You look at, go ahead.
Yeah, sorry, working class people. You know, like I'm talking union workers and folks who go to trade schools.
Yeah.
+31 for Trump.
Yeah.
It was +12 for Clinton. And Kamala is projected.
And it was +20 for Biden.
+20 for Biden. Yeah.
So that's a 50-point switch.
Shit. Kamala is going to be the worst performing Democrat among union households, union voters ever.
Yes.
Ever.
Yes.
And I'm just saying.
But then you dig further. There's interesting splits even within the demographics, right? You look at black voters, okay?
Yeah.
Trump is about 22, to some have it as high as 27. I think that might be a little bit high, but maybe we'll see. You never know.
Yeah.
You know, but who are that 27%? It's young black men.
Yeah.
Black men 18 to 39.
Yeah.
Trump's at almost half.
Yeah.
Can you ever have imagined that in history, this will be the best voting performance among minority groups by a Republican ever in history?
Yeah.
Trump is winning the Latino vote. Yeah. Winning.
Yeah.
I don't think Bush even fully won the Latino vote, right?
Bush got 44%, which was the solid.
Highest ever. Highest ever.
Solid.
Yeah. When he used to speak his weird Texas Mexican.
Viva Cuba Libre.
Yeah. But no, I mean, it's shocking. It's shocking. And really what it's going to come down to is, you know, the whites are going to vote for Trump at probably a 60 to 68% clip, depending on where you're looking at, which is obviously a very wide range. But I think it's going to be on the higher side. Men are in the 60s for Trump. Women are in the high 60s for Kamala. unfortunately, there's more women voters. You know, cause
yeah, but apparently... yeah, but remember, not all women are going to remember. What's married white women are going to
right. Trump. So the question is, in these polls, in these polls, are they missing that suburban group again? Yeah. Right. So does that come back to Trump? I read today in the Philadelphia Inquirer, which is a libtard fucking rag, right?
Yeah.
But if they're admitting that in the suburbs of Philadelphia, well, the trend back to Trump is real, then there's some serious problems.
And she's all, Kamala's also losing her support among 65 and older voters in Keystone.
Yes.
So.
Yeah. Bucks County, right?
Yeah.
The forever bellwether of Pennsylvania went to switching Republican registration. We couldn't have ever thought that that was going to be the case for the last 20 years. And in Pennsylvania, the Democrat edge went from plus 750 to, by election day, it'll be probably plus 300,000.
Yeah. Okay. A lot of Western, I remember like 15 years ago, a lot of Western PA Dems had voted Republican for years, but they just never changed the registration.
Yeah.
That could be catching up now, among other things. Obviously, first-time voters are probably registering to vote as well. Mm-hmm. Again, because that's the Trump effect, which is what a lot of media people don't like to admit, you know, because they think that Obama was the only person who could, you know, be the Democratic candidate.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's...
I mean, Trump has literally brought millions of people who never had voted or participated in their lives into the fold, so...
And you know what I think is really going on here with these polls, especially when you see the ones that print out Kamala plus five. Not only are they oversampling Democrats, they're putting a D plus four when it's R plus three.
Yeah.
Right. Gallup has been nearly spot on in the popular vote. Right. In 2020, they said it was a D plus five environment.
Mm-hmm.
Right. What was the final popular vote? Biden plus 4.6.
Yeah.
Right. You know, obviously.
Yeah.
Issues. But you go before that, Clinton, Obama. Yeah. They've been right all the way back to 2000, I think it was. And that's the longest they've been doing that tracking poll. For the first time, it's R plus three.
Yeah.
So even if they're 5 points off and we lose the popular vote by 2 points, Trump's still president.
Yeah.
Because Kamala needs to win the popular vote by at least
seven.
No. By at least 2.4 is the estimate, depending on what the vote totals are in each state. Right. It depends. You know, obviously, if Georgia has a way higher turnout versus what is expected, then that number changes. But that's the ballpark estimate. So, I honestly think that we're in a tremendous position, and it's no cause to get complacent. But I hate seeing people out there that say, oh, well, they're just going to steal the election anyway, so why should I even bother voting?
Oh, God.
That's exactly what they fucking
want you to do, guys.
And that's why they print these polls that show her winning, so you get demoralized.
Remember the term? Suppression polls?
That's exactly what it is.
Suppression polls.
It's a psyop to get you to not want to vote. Because they know that if we turn out and vote in the numbers that are expected, that it's way outside of their margin of fraud. Yeah. I mean, look at the mail numbers.
Way down.
Not only are the mail numbers way down and really putting any chance of them having a movable number of votes at risk, but so far, the mail-in voting has been pretty fucking Republican. Yeah. In Virginia especially, in Florida, in Pennsylvania, the states that are currently open. So I really do think that this is one big operation to not only suppress the vote of Republicans, and to get them to think, oh, well, they're just going to steal it anyway, so why should I even bother voting? You know, why should I bother convincing my friends to vote? Because that's how they win an election, is you thinking that.
Yep.
And so there's that. That's the first part of it, right?
Mm-hmm.
But the second part of it is the backup plan. That if we win, it's the biggest shock of a generation. And the blowback to it will be exactly what they want when all the liberals take to the streets and say, well, they all told me that Kamala was going to win by five.
Exactly.
What happened? And they burn the cities to the ground.
Yep.
Which at this point, let them, I don't give a fuck. Maybe that's the renewal that we need at this point. But really, I do think that that's what's going on here. And I think that if the election were held tomorrow,
we would
win with well north of 300 electoral votes, and that Trump may have a very good chance of winning the popular vote, and we get probably 52 to maybe 53 seats in the Senate, and then we probably get about an 8 to 10 seat House majority.
That's nice.
Now, between now and then, who knows?
Yeah.
But they've really run out of ammo against Trump. Yeah.
Well, nothing sticks.
Well, and Trump, because they used it already.
Yeah.
And Trump is running a very disciplined campaign. They're doing a lot of great campaign stops, a lot of great rallies, a lot of great get out the vote.
The ads have been phenomenal.
The ads have been great.
The ads have been great.
The lawsuits from Michael Whatley over at the RNC have been winning all over the place, election integrity lawsuits. You know, there's still a few concerns out there, a few states, particularly Arizona, where they want to get all these illegals to vote.
Yeah.
But in general, we've been winning, especially requiring date and signature verifications in Pennsylvania on mail-ins.
And no accepting of late ballots.
Yeah.
No longer accepted.
Yeah. So, you know, there's good cause to be optimistic about that.
Yeah.
You know how I said that there's not a good cause to be optimistic about anything? About that there is. And hopefully, if we win, then maybe we can get back to making America great again.
Yeah.
But, yeah. All right. Anything else to add before we go?
MAGA.
Yeah. MAGA.
Oh, and also, hopefully we all wake up tomorrow morning alive.
Well, yeah.
I mean,
who knows at this point?
I mean, the Israeli strike's probably going to happen soon.
I mean, at this point, it's basically 50-50.
50-50.
What, 50% we live, 50% we die? Yeah, that's a great clip.
50-50.
Yeah, that's why we drive at night. All right, well, that's it for today. Of course, if you have any thoughts, email us triggered@townhall.com. Love hearing from you all. I know I can't respond to everything, but I do read all your messages. I promise that. So, again, triggered@townhall.com. If you enjoy Triggered and want it uncensored, become a Town Hall VIP member at townhallvip.com. Use the promo code FIGHT for 60% off. We're keeping that sale going.
Oh.
Exclusive for Triggered members. You know, it comes and goes on the web, but don't tell anyone. I'm keeping this going. You know, luckily,
secret probation.
I run that show over here. So, you Triggered listeners, get your 60% off. I promise you, money-back guarantee. So many Trigger listeners have become VIP members, and not a single one has ever asked for their money back. Not only will you get Triggered Uncensored, but you get tons of VIP members-only content from all your favorite conservatives, Matt, Katie, Kurt. I mean, the list goes on and on. So I promise you will love it. We could really use your support, not only for what we're doing here on the show, but for what we're doing on all of our websites, exposing the left, reporting the real news, and keeping the truth out there, because conservative media at this point is the only one doing that, as you've seen, and you all know that. So, again, townhallvip.com. Use the promo code FIGHT for 60% off. Thank you to all of you who are VIP members listening to Triggered. We love you. That means the world to us. Thank you to all of you who listen anyway. We do the show for you, and hopefully we'll keep this party going here. With 35 days left until the election, we will be back here next Wednesday, October 9th, for another episode of Trigger.
See you then.